Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. You can find this on page 812 of the Pew Bible. We'll be reading just one verse. Hear now God's holy word. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, last week we finished our study of the Ten Commandments, and we noted at the beginning of our study that the Ten Commandments are a summary statement of what God requires of us. They are general, universal statements and principles that we then need to expound upon and to apply and work out in our everyday life. And this is exactly what Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount. In his day, the law was often misunderstood and misapplied. And so when Jesus teaches his disciples, he has to correct them. He has to teach them the proper meaning and application of the law of God. And then after his teaching and explanation of the commandments of God, he sums up his teaching and indeed the entire law and prophets at the end of his sermon in this one brief but extremely useful summary statement. And that statement is found in Matthew 7, verse 12, and is widely known as the Golden Rule. The NIV puts it this way: so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, remembering and applying this simple principle will be a great help as we seek in our everyday life to keep God's commandments, and in particular, the Ten Commandments. Now, memorizing the Ten Commandments is something that we could all do. And no doubt many of you could list them, at least maybe not word for word, but you could get the gist of all 10. But what might be harder to do than that is to remember the various explanations and applications that we have discussed over these past couple months when we looked at in depth the Ten Commandments. And then on top of that, there are all these situations and issues that we didn't cover. Should I do this or not do this? Or should I say that or not say that? We are faced with new decisions and situations all the time. And this is where the Golden Rule is extremely handy. And so as a way to wrap up our discussion on the Ten Commandments, we're going to look at it today. And the Golden Rule isn't always understood or used properly, and so we're going to begin by looking at how not to use the Golden Rule. And the Golden Rule is not to be used as if it were the way to God. Don't use this summary statement of the Law and the Prophets as if it were the way to God. Now, one fascinating tidbit about the Golden Rule is that Jesus was not the first to teach it. In fact, similar statements are found in numerous religions, philosophies, and cultures, Western and Eastern alike, from Confucius to Socrates to Hinduism to Islam to secular humanism to Scientology. Just Google the Golden Rule and you will see what I mean. There's an expression of this kind of statement found in all these philosophies, religions, and cultures. Now, one interesting account takes place in AD 20, so before Jesus' teaching. Rabbi Hillel is challenged by a Gentile to summarize the law, the Old Testament law, in the short time that the Gentile could stand on one leg. So maybe a minute or so, who knows? Can he summarize the entire law in the time he could stand on one leg? Well, the rabbi answers this way: what is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. This is the whole law. All the rest is commentary. Go and learn it. Now, no doubt the reason this rule is found in so many diverse places is because, well, we are human beings made in the image of God. And God has written his law upon our hearts. And so we instinctively know that we are to be kind and to love our neighbor. But also, this rule is stated so broadly that it enables almost anyone to agree to it and to embrace it. I mean, who would try to refute a simple statement like this because it's stated so broadly? It's when you get into specific applications of this rule that we begin to see division and disagreement. As it's often said, the devil is in the details. And so, for example, a biblical particular application of this rule would be to not kill the unborn. We don't want people to kill us, so we shouldn't kill other people, including the unborn. But of course, most secular humanists who could embrace this rule would not embrace that particular specific application of it. Now, since almost everyone can embrace the golden rule, the temptation for some, at least, will be to say that this is what Christianity is all about. This is what all religions and philosophies of life is all about. And so it doesn't really matter what religion you are, as long as you follow this basic principle, be kind to your fellow man, and therefore being kind to the fellow man is what it means to be religious. It's the way to God. Now, of course, tying all religions by a superficial understanding of the golden rule is really not much of a temptation for us here. But a more subtle temptation is to equate the golden rule with the gospel. And sometimes the gospel can be presented in this way. If you want to be a Christian, then treat one another as you would be treated. Love your neighbor and you will go to heaven. Now, the problem with that is that sin, Christ, the cross, the atonement, trusting in Christ for salvation, those things are left out, or at the very least, they are emphasized or stressed. And the whole focus tends to be on how you treat your neighbor. That's what it means to be a Christian. That is really the way to God. But we do need to understand and be clear that we're not saved by being nice to our neighbor. There is nothing that we can do to overcome or to atone for our sins. There is nothing that we can do to conquer our sin, to conquer death, or to overcome the evil one, or to be able to escape his kingdom. There is nothing that we can do on our own to achieve eternal life. Only Jesus can do all of those things. And he has accomplished all of those things for us, so that whoever believes in him has his sins forgiven, is transferred from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son, has conquered death, has eternal life. And Jesus has done that for us by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection. And so we are saved by Christ, and we are saved to and for obedience. And so it's only as we are united to Christ by faith that then we are able to properly observe and to keep the golden rule, at least in a way that pleases God. It's only in Christ that we are able to walk in holiness and to walk as he walked. But the golden rule is still very helpful for us because it does sum up for us what God requires of us as his people. It doesn't sum up how we are saved in Christ, but it does sum up what we are to do as those who are in Christ. Also, the golden rule is not to be used as if it were a maxim like the saying, honesty pays. Now, the reason some are honest is because of the return benefits. Life is easier for us. We avoid trouble and we receive promotions and rewards if we follow these simple rules. Honesty pays. Now, some might be tempted to use the golden rule in that fashion because being nice to other people is the best way to get other people to be nice to us. In fact, the ancient Egyptian version of this rule says this: do for one who may do for you that you may cause him thus to do. We want to manipulate people to do nice things for us, and the best way to do that is simply to be nice to them. But as Christians, we don't keep the golden rule for purely mercenary reasons. We don't do it to manipulate people. We keep it because it is the sum of the law and the prophets, because this is what God wants us to do. Now, it's certainly true that, as we have seen in our study of the Ten Commandments, that God's law, and therefore the golden rule, are for our benefit and for our good. And doing what God wants us to do is always in our best interest. But we do need to realize that we live in a fallen world. And we live in a place where things don't always work out. And they don't always work correctly. We live in a place where sometimes the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. That sometimes things are upside down in this fallen world. And that means that keeping God's commandments can sometimes get you into trouble, at least in the short term. In other words, honesty doesn't always pay in a fallen world. Sometimes honesty can hurt you. And so if you were to keep the golden rule only for its return benefits, then there are going to be times in which you're going to say, I'm not going to do that because it's not going to help me. I'm going to do what benefits me the most. But in the end, as Christians, we strive to keep the golden rule because we love Jesus, and Jesus is Lord. We keep it because he says we are to keep it, and we want to please him. And even though obeying God may bring temporary hardship, we know that ultimately, as we serve God, it will be for his glory, which will in the end be for our ultimate benefit. Also, the golden rule is not to be used to justify sinful practices. We have noted already that the golden rule is stated very broadly. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And because it's stated in that broad way, we could easily twist it to get it to say what we want it to say. We could use it to justify to do whatever we want to do. And so, for example, if someone said to me, look, Patrick, why did you refuse to help John Smith? He needed help. You were there. You had the resources to help him, but you didn't help him. Is that how you would like to be treated, Patrick? Now, I could be perverse at that moment and say, yeah, that's how I like to be treated, and that's why I did it. I'm keeping the golden rule. Well, of course, that would be a lie to justify my selfishness, because the fact is I don't like to be treated that way. But in our perverseness and our sin, we can use the golden rule to justify whatever we want to do or whatever we have done. But even if that weren't a lie, it still would not be a proper use of the golden rule. Because as Jesus says, the golden rule is the summary of the law and the prophets. It is the law and the prophets. And the summary of the law and the prophets must be interpreted and explained, not by whatever I wanted to say, but by the law and prophets themselves. And what does the law say in this regard? Well, we looked at the eighth commandment, which says, you shall not steal. And as we explained that from the rest and the entirety of Scripture, we saw that we must not take that which belongs to others, but also that we are to work honest work, so that we might have something to be able to give to others and to be generous and to be helpful. And so I, by the law, according to the proper summary of the law, I ought to help those in need when I have opportunity. And I can't use the golden rule to kind of justify my selfishness or my sin in that respect. Which is why, of course, the golden rule shouldn't be used to replace the Old Testament law. I mean, some people will say something like this, we don't need to worry about the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, 2/3 of your Bible, just get rid of it. We don't need it. That was for ancient Israel. We have the law of the New Testament. We have the golden rule. That's how we are to conduct our lives. But that kind of perspective ignores the fact that Jesus says that here in Matthew 7:12 that it sums up the requirements of the law and the prophets. And in this way, it's similar to other summaries of the Old Testament that we find in the New Testament. For example, in Romans 13, the Ten Commandments are summed up in this saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Jesus does something very similar, Matthew 22, verse 40. "On these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets." And the golden rule is just another way of saying that the law is summed up by you loving your neighbor as you love yourself. But then we have to ask, how are we to love our neighbor? And the answer, of course, as Paul says in Romans 13, would be with the Ten Commandments. And then when we ask the question, well, what do the Ten Commandments mean? We answer with the rest of Scripture. So again, we see here that summaries are not meant to replace the law itself or the rest of Scripture. They are simply handy summaries of what the Scripture itself teaches us that we are to do. And so this is why we can't use the golden rule to justify our sins or to get it to say whatever we want it to say. We have to explain and unpack it in light of that which it is a summary of, namely the law and the prophets. Now, we might also point out that the golden rule, as I mentioned at the beginning, is a summary of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You'll notice in verse 12 says, "So, whatever you wish." Verse 12 is then being connected with what went before it. And some suggest that the "so" or the "therefore" refers to the immediate passage right before, but really it goes back to the whole sermon. A helpful clue in this case is the phrase "law and the prophets." Jesus begins his sermon with that phrase in Matthew 5:17 with the law and the prophets, and now he ends with that same statement, the law and the prophets. It's kind of included. Bookends of his sermon, if you will, by that phrase, law and the prophets. Jesus did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. He then properly expounds the law and the prophets. And then here, Matthew 7:12, he sums up the law and the prophets with what we call the golden rule. And so again, we see that the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' teaching is not some kind of distinct code of ethics or way of living that is somehow detached from or different from the Old Testament, but rather it's an explanation, application of the Old Testament itself. So how then are we to understand and use the golden rule? Well, the golden rule certainly teaches us the intent and the purpose of the law of God. We see the goodness of the law in the golden rule. Because, let's face it, we don't like it when people don't keep God's commandments when it pertains to us. We don't like it when people lie to us. We don't like it when people break the Ten Commandments against us. And because we don't like it when people do it to us, we shouldn't do it to them. We shouldn't break the Ten Commandments with respect to them. Which goes to show, does it not, that God's law is good? And that we can see its goodness because we hate it when people break those commandments at our expense. And so the law sets forth a proper boundary so that everybody can flourish and prosper. The golden rule shows how everybody instinctively knows that God's law is good and for our good. But again, as I stated at the beginning, the golden rule provides us with a very handy, comprehensive summary to help us figure out what we should do in any given situation. Because as you know, Scripture is filled with many commands and requirements, all of which, of course, are given to guide us to love God and to love our neighbor. And Jesus refers to many of them in the Sermon on the Mount. We are to be merciful, peacemakers, salt and light to the world, to not be angry, to reconcile with our brother, to not lust in our hearts, to be faithful in marriage, to be honest, to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile, to love our enemies and do good to them, to avoid religious hypocrisy, to throw away our idols and serve God rather than mammon, to not worry but to trust, to not judge harshly or hypocritically, and to seek God in prayer for grace, and so on. Now, we may not have all of the commands and statutes of Scripture hidden on our hearts, but we can have the golden rule written on our heart, and that can be a brief summary principle to guide us. Again, also, the Bible does not cover every precise situation in life, so that's a textbook that we can turn to tell us exactly what we need to do in any given situation. Now, the Bible is sufficient for life and godliness and to equip us for every good work, but the Bible also teaches us that we need wisdom to be able to apply what God has given to us in the Scriptures. And here, the golden rule enables us to help us to figure out how to apply God's law in any kind of situation. And this is because we know exactly how we like to be treated, regardless of the situation. We know how to look out for our own interests naturally and instinctively. And we need to take that knowledge, that expert wisdom, and use it when we are dealing with other people. John Calvin insightfully said this: "Where our own advantage is concerned, there is not one of us who cannot explain minutely and ingeniously what ought to be done." You know, what he's saying there is that our wisdom, knowledge, and application of God's law knows no bounds when the situation personally affects us. If our interests are at stake, we know exactly what needs to be said, how it needs to be said, when it needs to be said, what needs to be done, and who ought to do it. We know exactly in every minute detail. We are experts in how we like to be treated and how we ought to be treated. And so what we need to do then is to apply that expert knowledge and wisdom to others, to show the same love that you show yourself to others. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And so we really do need to put ourselves in our neighbor's shoes in their situation and ask ourselves, force ourselves to ask ourselves this question: how would I like to be treated if I were in their shoes? Would I want to be spoken in that way if I were in their shoes? Would I like that? We know the answer to that question if we're honest with ourselves. And we need to use that information to figure out how we are to treat the other person. So we don't need to be an expert ethicist. We don't need to be a PhD in theology or to be able to have examined the Ten Commandments in complete detail to be able to figure out how we are to treat one another. And the Golden Rule helps us in that regard. And notice also that how Jesus states the Golden Rule positively, not in a negative form. Most forms that we find of the Golden Rule outside of Scriptures, they're stated negatively. And so, for example, Confucius says this: "Do nothing to your neighbor which afterward you would not have your neighbor do to you." Now, when it's stated negatively, it simply means this: live and let live. Do no harm to your neighbor. But as Jesus puts it, we are required to not harm our neighbor, but also to do them good, which is, of course, the law and the prophets. Because that's how we like to be treated, is it not? When we are down and out, we certainly don't want people who are walking by to kick us while we're down. But at the same time, we want them to offer a hand to help us up too. Because that's how we like to be treated. We want other people to treat us that way as well. And so we are to treat them in the same fashion. Not just don't harm them, but also help them as well as we are able. Well, the golden rule is not the gospel. It's not a self-serving bit of advice, and it must not be twisted to justify whatever we want it to say. However, the golden rule does sum up how God wants us to relate to other people, how we are to love one another as we love ourselves. And so that is how we are to use the golden rule, to use it to help us to figure out how to practically express our love for one another. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Let us pray.